Well, the Lord's been talking to me a little, and I want to share some things with us this morning. Hopefully, that will make us all able to be better soldiers for the Lord. I've been thinking a little about this phrase, maybe not totally used like we always think of it altogether, but I was thinking of Jude, verse 3, and it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." You know, this morning, there's some things that are worth contending for. And the writer here exhorts these ones to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. You know, I believe the things the Lord gave us, the faith, the doctrines, the beliefs that He has given to His people, to the Christians, God wants us to earnestly contend for those things. I believe He wants us to... The word, when you look up that phrase, to earnestly contend for, it means to struggle for or to contend for. And I was reading one of the commentaries believes that it was a reference to the Olympic Games. And we find a number of those definitely in the scriptures where they reference those things. Though they weren't a part of them, they knew the people understood that language, and they knew that wrestlers and those kind of, they contended with one another until someone overcame. And so they earnestly contended. You know, there's some things in our lives this morning that are worth earnestly struggling for. The scripture, or the Strong's, says to struggle for. Or maybe it just says to struggle. But it means to struggle for, to contend for, to wrestle for. And, you know, this morning, there's some things in life that if we're going to have them, we're going to have to struggle for them a little bit. We're going to have to contend for them, or they will just slip away from us. There are a million foes, and probably no less than that, set against everything good in our life. The devil is set against it. Our own self, if we give way to it, we will fare far lower than we will if we'll bring self completely under and die to ourself and overcome ourself and work for the things the Lord wants us to. And so I want to just lay a little foundation here this morning and then just talk to us about a few things that I would like the Lord to open our hearts to this morning. And let's just say, Lord, I want you to speak to me this morning. I'd like the Lord to speak to me too. I want to know the things that are precious, the things that are worth contending for. And we know that our faith is worth contending for. The things that we really believe the Bible teaches are worth contending for. We want those things. The world all around us suffers for lack of truth and for lack of knowledge and for lack of the Lord, lack of faith. And we want it richly in our life. But I want to look over here at Isaiah, the 32nd chapter. And the 17th verse. And think just a little bit about what this says. It says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." That's what the scripture says that the work of righteousness does. Does it not do that this morning? Does it not take a soul that cannot stop itself, searching, looking in all the wrong places And can it not quiet that soul? And that soul can enjoy stopping. I knew a man one time and knew him quite well. He came to services some at one time. But this man had been a roamer. And that's what he spent his life. He spent many, many years just traveling, just out on the road, one place to the next, one place to the next place, changing phone numbers all the time, all kinds of just a life that we know nothing of, most of us. But he lived that way. When he came here and the gospel began to make its approach to him, his wife got saved for a while. He prayed too. And it had an effect. And he told me, he said, that's when he got around this atmosphere and everything, his roaming stopped. All those the gospel of righteousness and the blessedness of the peace of God has a way of settling things down. We don't have to roam anymore. That's the effect of it. We don't have to search and give our life in pursuit of everything that there is, constantly looking. The Lord wants to give us peace. This peace that He wants to give. The effect, it says, of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. You know what it is for a nation to be quiet from the fear of war and all the turmoil of constant bickering, and we know nothing of that in our modern day. It's constant wars, it's constant bickerings, but you know what it would be like? There's been times of real tranquility, of peace, of enjoyment. You know, God came to bring that. And the effect of it is that it brings quietness and assurance forever. And my people, the scripture says, shall dwell in a peaceable habitation. That habitation is where they dwell. It's where they live. They're going to live in a peaceable place, it says, and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. That quietness is quiet from the fear of what's going to take me over or what I'm fearful of. He said His people are going to dwell in quiet resting places. That's a promise from God. I take that this morning and I revel in that. Thank you, Lord. That's worth contending for. That's something that it is worth in our life to contend for. That the enemy don't cause us to become so involved in the pursuits of everybody around us and all the constant commotion of wickedness and constant commotion of people against wickedness and for it and the fighting and all those things. You know, the Lord wants there to be something in our heart that is at peace and something in our life that brings peace. And I never even pre-thought all of that. I just want to tell us this morning or share with us this morning, you know, I know we have to resist evil. We have to do our part. We have to pray. We have to be concerned and all those things. But let's contend that right here in this place, right in my home and in your home, let's contend that that place be a place of peace and righteousness. Let's contend for it, that it remains a place where God can come and where He is at ease there and where the Spirit of the Lord can come. The Lord, we read how He came down in the cool of the evening and Adam was in the garden. And until Adam sinned, I'm certain that that's not the only time the Lord came down in the cool of the evening. That was a regular experience. That's the way the Lord does today. He loves to walk with His people. It's worth contending for. You know, there is an enemy, a very real live enemy that is set to make sure that don't happen in our heart, in our home, in our congregation, and among our people. There is an enemy that is set against that, and yet God has given us a promise. Let's contend for that. Let's contend that the Lord, the effect of righteousness, quiets and settles things in our own lives. That's where it has to start. If we're not quiet and settled in our own spirit, we won't be in our home either. It has to start there. And so this morning, I want to think a little bit about what God wants to do. And He has some things in mind. This master builder, the Lord, He actually is not just, He doesn't just have us out there. Here, this one's on his journey of life, and that one's on his journey and her journey. And however they land up, I don't know, they'll make it through and they can pray and get some grace. You know what? God is a master builder. He has some things in mind. He sees us. He sees who we are. He knew our frame. He knew all about us before we were born. He had all of our bones, all of our, everything was in place. And God knew it all before we were born. And the Lord has a plan for our life. And He has a plan for our congregation. He has a plan for your home and my home. He has some things that He has in mind for it. As from where we're at right now, God has some things in mind. And so I want to look at that a little bit. Ephesians 2 and 19 to 22. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, what is that foundation? It is the truth that they brought. It is the things they gave to us. It is the ways of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord that He has given to us. And it says, you are not strangers anymore. Folks, we're fellow citizens. We're all in this thing together. And it says here that we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. God Himself, Jesus Christ being an heir. Jesus Christ being our brother and our father. Jesus Christ being that one that supplies all things. And in Him all fullness dwells. And so it says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord. Now, some of us here have been in the building trades and in the building business or framing, and we realize exactly what this means, that all the building is fitly framed together. You don't take a 10-foot stud and put it in a 9-foot wall. You take a 9-foot stud. Well, you know the Lord is building this building. You know He takes you and me, and He wants us to have a place in His building. He wants us, He's building something. The Lord has something in mind. And it says here that in whom all the building fitly framed. It's fitly framed. Everybody. God puts you in a place just like He wants you. He puts you in that place if we will let Him. Fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, the Lord wants to build us together. He wants us to be builded together. He wants your life and mine to be working together to build a habitation for God through the Spirit. There is something here in this place that God wants to do through all of us. And He wants to build a habitation. Now, the Scripture, doesn't it say, ye are the temple of God? Doesn't it tell us that our hearts are the temple of God? Yes, it is. But do you know that God wants to take... He uses all these different illustrations so we can understand what He's trying to say. You know, He says that we've found the pearl of great price, and then He relates it to different ways that people have found this wonderful gift. The Lord wants us to understand. And so He says that you are builded together unto a holy temple in the Lord. The Lord has something in mind for all of us together, and He wants us to be builded unto Him a place for a habitation of God through the Spirit, so that His Spirit can come and dwell in this place among us. in our midst, in our working together, in our building together, and all of us put in our little places by God. And His working with us, one doing one thing, one doing another, one holding up one place. They're called pillars. You can count on them. That's what a pillar is, one that gives strength. Buildings are built on pillars. And so the Lord wants to use our lives. Not everybody's real loud. Not everybody's real quiet, hopefully. And so the Lord uses all the different materials that He has, and He fitly frames a habitation for God through the Spirit. Now, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And God wants us to have liberty in our midst. And this is worth contending for. This habitation of God, where God is and where He dwells and where there's liberty and where there is joy and peace flowing and working. I just want to encourage us today, and I have been so challenged myself. I've been praying, Lord, I want there to be more liberty in our midst. And I think the real prayer is then, Lord, I really want Your Spirit of God to dwell in us as a habitation richly and fully. I want it to work. I want the peace of God to be working between us. And I know it does. I know the Lord blesses us here so many times. Does He not? I love to come on Wednesday night and just sit and listen to all the testimonies. It blesses my soul to hear what the Lord's doing in your lives. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to contend for that. He wants us to contend that His Spirit has liberty, that His Spirit can work in our life, that we don't withhold the gift that God has given us, that we don't allow the enemy that is so set against it. Folks, the enemy is, if he cannot take us out, and he knows he's not going to take most of us out, we're here to stay. We're not going anywhere. We're going to heaven. We're not going to let him stop us. Then he would like to cool things down just enough that things don't really happen like they should. He wants to take the heat out of it. But we all know the little illustration of the water. It boils at a certain temperature. 212 degrees, it boils. And at that point, it becomes very powerful. And before that, it's just water. And after that, it turns engines. It can cause trains to move, boats, big ships to go. It has great power in it. And so I'm just thinking this morning, I feel like the Lord gave me this burden. I've been praying and pleading with God. And until He gave me this thought, I felt like, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be in the way. Lord, help me to know how to be a part of things moving, becoming a little more vibrant and lively. And you know, that's all of our jobs this morning. Let's earnestly contend for that. I appreciated the fact that there was a testimony or two this morning during service, and that there was a special song. And I appreciated the fact that I see some kind of up closer to the front this morning. You know, that blessed me. I thought, well, good. I can preach this message and not... That's a good thing. It's good this morning. Let's contend for it. I want to think a little bit more about these thoughts. First, let's look at 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. And it says, we then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, I want us to think about being a worker together with Him and with each other, the Scripture tells us. What we have here is valuable. I was thinking about our home, and I was thinking about what it's like at home and your home. And you know, we built it, our house, and we worked hard together. And we enjoyed that. Or I say we did. It's quite a process to build a house. It's very grueling sometimes. But we got it done and we really enjoyed that. And many times I've just sat down and just enjoyed that. We worked hard to have it. And I thank the Lord for it. But you know, that's not all we have. I don't know what I would have in it. It wouldn't look like it does. But my wife has a wonderful knack of putting up pictures and different things around that makes the home warm. It makes it come alive. I don't have that knack, but she does. I'm glad she does. I'm really happy that she does. It makes the home come alive. You know, I thought about our interactions with one another. Our home could be four walls or just a bunch of walls. It could just be that without anything, anywhere. Seems to me like that would be a cold picture. A little bit cold, a little bit dark. The Lord wants to enliven our lives a little bit. Now we can have the cold, and it's a shelter and it's a place, and it'll get us through. Or we can have it warm and friendly and nice. Our marriage. How many times are those of us that are married, how many times a day do you say, I love you? Hopefully a bunch. Hopefully every day we say it quite a few times. We don't just take for granted, well, I told her I loved her when I married her. I've heard that kind of thinking spoken before, or I've heard of it, and of those that would say that. It's hard for me to understand, take in, or believe, but it does happen that way. I told her I married her. I bring home the check every week. Well, you can do life that way, and you might even stay together, but it's not warm. It's not romantic. It's not fun, because you rub each other wrong sometimes. And it's those nice little things that help overcome that. It makes your house into a home. That's worth contending for. It's worth contending for. Marriage sometimes, I'll just say it for myself and my wife, it's gotten kind of blah at times. It's worth contending for. We've decided our life isn't going to be blah. Our marriage isn't going to be blah. Our home isn't going to be blah. I don't want it to be so. And so it doesn't have to be. It can liven back up. We can spruce things up again. We can clean things up, make things nice. We can have romantic love. We can have real warm love. But it has to be contended for, because it will slip away. Life has lots of labor in it. Life has many, many situations we have to constantly deal with, doesn't it? We raise children. Sometimes it makes us want to pull our hair out at times. What do we do? Lord, I need you to work. And the Lord does, doesn't he? And he helps us. Thank the Lord. The Lord can give us many, and does give us many, many blessings. But we have to contend for those things. Because if we will allow the enemy, he will take it away from us. He'll take away our happy home. He'll take away the peace out of our heart. He'll take away whatever good thing we have and make it blasé. And that's what he wants to do. And I'm thinking, of course, this morning, mostly about our congregation and about what we have here. We have a place to meet. We have love in our hearts. We love the Lord. We love one another. But you know what, folks? I have a lot of love for everyone here. There's anyone I don't have lots of love for. I want you to know it. And I want to know that you love me too. You know what, saints? I want us to pray about something. Warming this place up a little more. Sometimes we need to spruce it up. Sometimes we need to look at our marriage and say, we need to spruce it up. Yeah, we still love each other, but we've been running along pretty fast here. It's been a little hard. Life's been kind of tough for a while. We need to spruce it up. Folks, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's not like you don't love each other. I slow down, smell the roses, okay? All right? That's probably good advice. You know, sometimes I come home and the furniture is rearranged. And the couch isn't where it was. And I kind of like things right where they are. But I've learned that it's kind of nice. Those changes are nice. Just changes. It relivens things. Not that we throw everything out and start over. Sometimes we just have to spruce things up a little bit. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that this habitation of God through the Spirit here is something it's worth our fight. It's worth what we can put into it for it to happen like it needs to. Folks, you know, when we come together, can I just speak from my heart this morning? When we come together, we can all be in this place and the Lord will meet us here. Or we can be in this place and the Lord will really meet us here. We can put a little extra into it. I want to encourage us to do something. Young folks, can I talk to you first? Maybe I shouldn't catch you first. But I'm going to ask you to consider something. I'd love to see these front benches lined with young folks. But you know, they're not going to do that if all of us older ones are sitting at the back. You know, there's something pretty loud that's said if all of us are sitting toward the back. I know sometimes there's times that we do that. But I just want to encourage us. Let's spruce it up a little. Let's move up. All of us, can we do that? Would we consider it? Maybe moving up a little and leave those back seats open? What would it hurt? It might say something. It might say, I love you. Lord, I love you. It might enliven our heart a little. You know, when we come to service, we can come and we can hear the word of the Lord. We can listen to other people testify, and the Lord blesses that. Or we can come and say, Lord, I want to be a part of this thing. I appreciated that there was a testimony or two this morning, and there is from time to time, and I appreciate that. But I want to encourage all of us to be lively stones. Is it just something, well, the Lord just has to do that? Well, He does. But I want to say this, we have something to do with that. We have something to do with it. There's a human element involved. We can come asking the Lord, Lord, make me a lively stone. Give me a word. Give me a testimony. Let me say amen. Have you ever been up testifying and you sat down and nobody said anything? And you just wondered, you know, was I out in left field or what? You know what's really, you know, an attaboy, just an amen. Sometimes silence doesn't mean that there's any negative thing. I know we're a pretty quiet congregation. I don't take that as negative. But, you know, I believe that it could be better. I believe it's hard to read silence. You don't know if it's good or bad. And I feel pretty comfortable with this congregation. I know I know there's a lot of love here. But you know what, saints? It's warm. It's inviting. It's pleasurable for there to be some amen. For there to be yes, Lord. For us to get in this thing together. It's our place. It's our dwelling place. It's our home, our habitation for God. His Spirit comes and dwells here, and we have a part to play because we are workers together with Him. And so we can come here and we can just enjoy it, or just come. Maybe not enjoy it. Or we can come and we can put a part into this thing. There can be pictures on the walls, and I don't mean literally. There can be warmth. There can be some good things. More than there is, even. And how much we appreciate what we have. I really do. But I just want to encourage us not to set in place. If I walk in the house and there is no, well, hi, honey. And there isn't anything. It sets, you know, like, I know she loves me, but could be better than that. She could say, "Hi, honey. Glad to see you tonight." You know, I could do that too. Lord, help us to have the best of what God has to offer for us. This is a habitation of God, where He dwells, where He sends down His Spirit and His presence. And we want it to be a lively place. The Scripture refers to us as lively stones. Him being the chief cornerstone and us being stones in the building too. Different places it describes it a little differently so we can understand it. Gives us a good illustration from different directions. You know, it does me good when we come and somebody pops up and testifies. I'd like to ask us to think about that. No, we don't want to take half an hour out of the morning service, but we can stand up and say, "I thank the Lord this morning. I'm glad to be alive. God woke me up, gave me a scripture this morning." Let's ask the Lord, "Lord, we want your best. We want you to be glorified. And we want our people to be inspired. We want our young people to have that feeling of joy, of peace." The effect, we read, of righteousness is peace. It's quietness and a habitation of the Lord. That doesn't mean there isn't anything being said, quietness. It means it's quiet from the troubles of life. It's quiet from the things the enemy wants to bring into our minds. Don't we have a blessed habitation here? Don't we have a place? We have this place where at camp meeting time, I'm kind of anticipating May. You know, we're going to have another camp meeting. I wait for that. I'm glad for that. I get to hear the word of the Lord through so many different brethren, sisters. It's a blessing. It's a habitation of God through the Spirit. Something He has given us, and you and I have a part to play in that this morning. Let's just ask the Lord, "Lord, help us to be about ourselves. Help us to look around and say, you know what, there needs to be a little more picture here. There needs to be a little more life. Let's tell each other a little more. You know, I appreciate you. I love you." Whatever. We can do that. And it means something. Do we just know it? Well, I sure hope you don't do that in your home. I hope you don't just think, "Well, she knows it." Men, tell your wife you love her a lot. A lot of times. Every day. Quite a few times. It's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to start. It's a good thing to have all through your married life, all through your home. Do some special things at times. Is there times that we do special things? Yes, there is. And they're warm, aren't they? When we're special to one another and we bestow a special kindness on one another from time to time, whether it's a special visit, a card, a kind word, whatever it is, there's many different ways that we love one another and bless one another. I want to encourage us this morning. I would like for us not to forget this. Let's come to service tonight and let's sit in a little different spot. What will it hurt to rearrange the furniture? What will it hurt to move up? Let's try it. Let's try it. Let's move forward. Let's try saying amen a little bit. And let's ask the Lord to bless that. Let's ask the Lord to make us lively in His service. I believe it's something worth contending for. There are some things worth contending for. And folks, I always felt like there is an atmosphere that we can have in our home that is conducive to children wanting to serve the Lord. Now, we cannot make children serve the Lord. They have to do that. But I will tell you, we can get them pretty close to the cross where they need to pray. Folks, there is an atmosphere here that is conducive to people enjoying their salvation and enjoying each other and enjoying the Lord. Let's be a little more vocal about it. I believe God wants us to do that. I'm not talking about creating some as the world has their ways. But folks, we can be more than we are, I believe. Can we accept this morning without feeling, I don't have any axe to grind or bone to pick. I just see something where we could rearrange the furniture a little, folks. We could love the Lord a little more. There's something about emotion that, you know, salvation is not just emotions. It's a reality. God saved my soul. He forgave my sins. The Lord keeps me free from sin. Thanks to Him. But I will tell you what I really enjoy. I enjoy it when my emotions feel a little bit of special. It's just, I enjoy that. We can put a little bit more, I believe, into it than we do, maybe. I was down in Honduras, and I know we'll never be like Honduras congregation, but they're very lively folks. Even in their, I know part of its culture, very lively people. Lord, help us to be more lively. We don't have to be like them, but we can be more lively. We can be sure we're counted on here. We can be sure that we're prayed up. That before service, we kneel and pray. Lord, would you bless our service today? I don't believe it's all the preacher. I don't think we should come and expect everyone else to testify on Wednesday night. It's all of us. We are workers together. We are having a habitation of God through the Spirit here. It's a wonderful habitation. God is love, and in Him is no darkness at all. God is the one that when He moves, we hear millions of angels are out there praising His name as God works and moves. Let us praise Him too. Let's be workers together with Him. If we're going to go through this life, and I believe most of us are committed, we're not quitting. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're here to stay. We just well enjoy the ride, hadn't we? We just as well enjoy what we have. And I want to encourage us to go beyond ourselves a little bit. It's easier to sit way back. It's a lot harder to sit up front. I couldn't hardly do it. When I first started sitting up front, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I just couldn't hardly make myself do it. But you know what? You get kind of comfortable with things. You really do. It changes. They say once you do something for a month, it's a habit. You just do it. You know, we can change our habits and rearrange the furniture a little, and it might be spruced up, and we might just enjoy it a little more. And so I believe that the power of that witness is that it's like walking in the door and your spouse says, "Hi, I'm glad to see you." That's a wonderful thing. That's what it says when we are up front, when we're ready. When we're ready to give. Or we can just, she knows I love her. I don't have to say anything. We do have to say something, really. We do. It's necessary this morning. And so, 2 Timothy 1 and 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Paul was speaking to Timothy about his ministry and about the work that God had given him. And he said, "I want you to stir up the gift of God." This is relating as if you're stirring up the coals of a fire. And don't we have to do that? You put a new log in, you stir those coals up, they get hot. Put the new log in and it'll start right away if there's plenty of coals in there. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, "I want you to stir up the gift of God which is in thee." You know, this morning, you've got something to add. Don't tell me God didn't put us. If we're saved, God's got us in the building. We're somewhere in there Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Get close to the Lord. Search for Him. Plan to be a part of things being more lively, of things being a little more warm than they are. I appreciate the Lord this morning. Oh, help us, Lord. You know, we can give nonverbals to one another. And we do, don't we? And those things are good too. It's part of it, isn't it? We give nonverbals to our spouse all the time. But you know, the Lord wants there to be more than just silence from you or me. And so wherever we are in this thing this morning, if we're silent, let's pray about it. Lord, can help us to be a little more verbal, a little more, even a little more nonverbal in a way that matters. And I know we're not all the same, but I just want to encourage us this morning to contend earnestly for these things. I believe they're worthwhile. I pray sometimes and I plead with God, Lord, I want you to call ministers from our midst. I want some of our children to consecrate themselves to the work of God, to the mission fields, to those around them that are not saved. Lord, would you call? I believe that those things happen in fertile environments. Those things happen when the Lord is working. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, make this habitation of God a fertile environment that people can be inspired, because you don't push people down into doing things like that. You inspire them to become a useful vessel for the Lord. Inspire them by our lives, by our dedication, by our unwavering commitment, by our constance to be here and to be counted on. Lord, help us each one to allow the Lord. Lord, make this a fertile environment. I want you to inspire me. I want you to pull me further. And I want you to pull everybody else further. Lord, would you do these things? I can't do that. It has to be a work of the Spirit. But I just want to encourage us this morning. I believe this is what God sees. He has some things in mind He wants to do. He wants to call, and we want our children, we want our youth to be inspired. Let's make this a fertile environment. Stir up ourselves. Stir up the gift that God has given us. Stir up the things in us that the Lord can use. Stir ourselves up when it's time to sing a special. I appreciate the specials. I want to tell you, they change the atmosphere. They really do. That special this morning meant something. It was helpful to the atmosphere of our service. Stir it up. Come ready and prepared to give what God has given us. Oh, this morning, I want to read just a couple of other places in 2 Peter 3 and 1. I love the Lord this morning, and I know many of us do. Oh, Lord, give us your best. Let it be inspiring. Let our work, sometimes it just naturally decays down to be a little blasé. It doesn't mean we're not married. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It means that we have something to stir up. It means that we need to stir the coals a little and let the Lord work. In 2 Peter 3 and 1, it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Just want to stir you all up, Peter was saying here, that I want to stir up your pure minds. He didn't hit them over the head. He said, your pure minds, I want to stir them up to remember some things, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. And then he goes on to tell them some things. 2 Peter 1 and 13. He says there, "Yea, I think it meet." I think it's a good thing, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And he had just talked to them about all those things. Add these things to your faith. Add these things to your life and let God work in you. And he said, I think it's a good thing. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to stir you up. That's what this writer was saying here. So Lord, help us this morning that we contend earnestly, that the atmosphere encourages growth, that the atmosphere we have here is one that encourages the use of our talents and of our time, that we don't let the devil take from us what the Lord really wants to use. We want to make it usable. We want to ask the Lord. We might want to counsel some. Lord, how does this... The Lord can help us to all be workers together. Our gift isn't alone. It isn't something we have on our own. It's something we all work together with. And so, let's contend. Let's contend earnestly. Lord, how can my gift fit in a little better? Lord, how can I make this a little more warm? How can I make a little more, by my presence being there, make it a little more of an atmosphere that causes our youth to be inspired to give their lives to? I want them to be inspired. We have something to be inspired about. Folks, we have something wonderful to be inspired about. We're going to heaven. We have much truth on our hands, and the world all around us is languishing, dying for truth, dying for those things that save the soul and cause people to be able to live. We have something wonderful. Let's stir ourselves up this morning and allow the Lord to work in our lives and allow Him to, in this habitation of His, that His Spirit can just work freely. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's a working together in all of that. We work together. We don't work on an isolated set. We work together. We bless one another together. We challenge one another together. We work together with God this morning. You all pray for me.